North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Common Law. I'm Arthur Beislein, your host. Happy Friday. It's always nice to do this on Fridays because it's better than doing anything else when you're at the Procrastination Olympics like I usually am on Friday afternoons. So what are we going to talk about today? First, let me apologize if I repeat myself. I have prepared remarks, but I don't always get to everything that I've written down. And so I need to make a habit of crossing off what I've already discussed. I promised to listen to my past shows and so I can figure out what I've already touched on, so I apologize. But today, we're going to talk about just some fun things like the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, maybe health care, insurance, my favorite subject, the filibuster, my favorite book, and a dishwasher tip. And so before we go, I know the last two are a little off topic, but nobody's sending me any emails at commonlaw7b@gmail.com. So I get to kind of talk about whatever I want. And so I'll just share this one dishwasher tip that I was surprised that most people don't know. Before you start your dishwasher, run the hot water in your sink, because that'll pull the hot water up to the dishwasher. And then when you turn it on, you're not blowing cold water everywhere while it tries to pull up the hot water. Anyway, with that, we'll go to break and then we'll come back and jump into some of our subjects.
Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty is locally owned and operated, and now with two locations on the South Hill in Bonners Ferry and downtown on Main Street to better serve the community. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home in 2021, think local. Call Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty for a free market analysis today. 208-267-8575. Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty on the South Hill in Bonners Ferry and downtown on Main Street. Coldwell Banker. That's the power of blue.
When you've been in a car accident, one of the first things you'll do is make a call to your insurance company.
I've recently been in a car accident, and I need to start a claim to get my vehicle repaired.
I'm sorry to hear that. Is everything okay?
Yes, thank you, but my car is totaled.
Well, we have a number of preferred shops in your area that can take care of that for you.
Oh, that's okay. I've already decided to take my vehicle to North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonners Ferry. They said they will handle all the paperwork and get my vehicle in and repaired as soon as possible.
Oh, well, I see here they're not one of our direct repair shops, and we can't guarantee the work that they do.
Well, actually, any guarantee on the vehicle will come directly from the shop that does the repairs. And North Idaho Collision Repair Center offers a written lifetime warranty on anything they do. They use original manufactured parts and will restore my vehicle to pre-accident condition. I'm taking my car to North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonners Ferry.
Hi, this is Shane from North Idaho Collision Repair Center reminding you it's always your choice where you get your vehicle repaired. So tell your insurance company I'm going to North Idaho Collision in Bonners Ferry.
Now that 2020's behind us, how about a little trip to a winner's wonderland? Put last year in the rearview mirror and win at the Kootenai Casino in Bonners Ferry. Our progressive January jackpot has become a favorite among our gaming guests, and the hot midweek spins are creating a blizzard of cash for winners. Weekday room specials in our Kootenai Falls Lodge start at just $59, with weekend rates starting at just $99. Book now and get two breakfast vouchers. Springs Restaurant is featuring a variety of January $11 lunch and dinner specials. And our spa has an incredible express pedicure, scalp ritual, and anti-stress facial for just $89. It's the perfect midwinter retreat. January is your month to win at the inn. To book your winner's wonderland getaway, call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
Getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy so we don't miss out on what matters. Like that family movie night your daughter can't live without. Yeah, can't do that. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400,
and 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. You can email me again at commonlaw, one word, then the number 7 and the letter B at gmail.com. I would love to answer questions, maybe point you in the right direction, and I'm willing to do it, but nobody wants to send an email. So again, I get to talk about what I want. And before I forget, I couldn't help but listen to the last set of commercials, and they were talking about you getting a car wreck and it's not your fault. Before I forget, if you get in a car wreck and you're even slightly injured, the other party's insurance company is going to try to throw money at you to get you to settle quickly. And I know it may be tempting to take the money, but I strongly urge you to wait. You have 2 years before you have to do anything about it. And a lot of times, the injuries you will sustain in these things don't really present for a while. And if you've already accepted settlement, well, you're out of luck. So anyway, just keep that in mind. So we're going to move on to, I think, the filibuster, because it's possibly the longest topic I have today, and I have some other short ones to fill in gaps if need be. And it's particularly appropriate. I don't know if you've been watching the news. I turned on the news on Thursday, and for the first time in a really long time, I found it to be really boring. I mean, just excessively boring compared to what I was used to. It wasn't entertaining. Nobody was doing anything terribly stupid. And then I heard the word, and my blood pressure just goes up. They're talking about the filibuster, and Mitch McConnell wants Schumer to promise to never get rid of the filibuster. And so what is the filibuster? Well, the shorthand is it's the reason that they don't ever get anything done in Congress. That's what it accomplishes. But what is it? Where'd it come from? Well, the word is from Dutch for the word for pirate. Which is exactly what it is. It's an unlawful taking over of something for your own ends. So where did it come up? How does it apply to our Congress? Well, when Congress first started, both the House and the Senate allowed unlimited debate on the floor of any proposed bill. And as the House grew, the House created some rules that allowed them to limit debate because there was just too many people. Well, the Senate never did that. The Senate never created a rule. They believed that you should be able to yammer on about things for as long as you want, and so then that's what they did. Primarily, it was the senators from the South trying to block any kind of civil rights type legislation, and they would do it by simply standing up and talking forever, literally. I mean, so they would talk, just basically wear everybody down. And so eventually, a good example is Huey Long. I mean, he would stand up there and talk about Shakespeare and recipes for pot liquors. Clearly improper purpose. He was in the minority. He didn't like what they were doing. And so he was just going to make everybody's life miserable by misbehaving and abusing his right to unlimited debate. So after a while, they passed a rule, as the Senate can do for their own proceedings, that said, if you want to cut off debate, which means now we can vote, you have to have 2/3 of the Senate to vote to cut off debate. And so that was it was called cloture, or I don't know if I'm saying that right, but basically it was the rule that was the response to this inappropriate behavior of yammering on about nothing forever and wasting everybody's time. Then when they used the filibuster in 1964 in the civil rights legislation for almost 60 days, they again changed the rule to its current requirement that you have to have 60 senators vote to cut off debate to in order to vote. So what that really means is that if you can't get 60 senators to vote to cut off debate, well, then you're never going to get a vote on the bill. And sometimes, you know, when I prepare for these shows, it actually helps me figure out my argument as to what's wrong with what they're doing, and today is one of those days. I mean, if you recall, the first time I brought this up, it was in the second show in response to my quiz that nobody answered about why these rules that change the voting requirements are unconstitutional, and I brought up the example of the Keystone Pipeline, and I said, it passed with 59 votes. How come it didn't pass? They changed the voting requirements to pass a pipeline, or what is this? You know, and I could never find any rule that would say you had to have 60 votes to pass a pipeline, or any rule that says you have 60 votes to approve any of the president's nominees. So how did they end up needing 60 votes? Well, what they did is they basically just merged the process. They said that when you have 60 votes and you can close debate, well, then you might as well just vote on everything at the same time because you know it's going to pass. Because anybody, if you have 60 votes saying close debate, that's the same as 60 votes as let's vote, which means you'll get the 50 you need to pass it. So that is how they change the voting requirements to pass laws with the use of their rules. And so when they talk about, you know, getting rid of the filibuster, they absolutely should. I mean, nothing gets done. President Trump, that was one of his big complaints, is that he wanted Mitch McConnell to get rid of the filibuster and Mitch wouldn't. Well, he wouldn't because he didn't want to deal with it in this situation where he loses, the minority party loses this power, which is not granted to them in the Constitution, to add yet another layer of check and balance and further grind our government to a halt. And now that's what Mitch wants to keep in place, and they want to all keep it in place so they can create their own little bubble and they don't ever have to vote on anything. So first, let's back up and look at this alleged right to unlimited debate. If you look at, well, a debate on the open floor, a debate is basically a rule of procedure. It's how the Senate chooses to proceed. And Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution says that the House and the Senate can make their own rules for their proceedings. So the Senate has taken the position that they're required or they want a rule that requires unlimited debate on all things. Well, the word debate's used one time in the Constitution, once, and it has nothing to do with this. If they wanted to have a rule that if you want to express your opinion, send an email, they could do it. But they allow everybody to talk. And I think that, you know, it's hard for me to ordinarily object to open meetings and free discourse. But in this case, that's not a debate. There are a bunch of people using the house that you paid for to build as basically a campaign stump. A debate's point counterpoint. These people get up and don't argue with each other. They just talk for the cameras. So it's not really a debate. I'll call it a comment period so everybody can let their constituents know, you know, whatever they think they should know about them. But I'm not going to say we should close debate, but the point is there should be a rule that doesn't reward bad behavior. I mean, if you get up in a debate with no other purpose than to drive everybody completely crazy until they give up, well, that's not how it's supposed to work. And so that needs to go. And I said this when the Republicans were completely in charge of House, Senate, and the presidency, and I'm saying it now, and I will say it forever. They have to get rid of that rule because nothing ever gets done. So that's my little spiel on the filibuster rule and why it matters to you. It fits right in with what I've been saying every show, and I will say every show, that if you really want anything to get done out there and you want things to move forward and you want these people to do their job, then don't let them rewrite the Constitution. You know, they say they're doing it because they're rewriting their rules of proceedings. Well, when your rules of procedure amount to a substantive change in the rights that are granted to people, then that's not a rule of procedure. That's a rule of substance, meaning you change the voting requirements of the Constitution. You disenfranchised my representative, and particularly in Idaho, especially right now. You know, I would love it if one of these guys in the Republican Party from Idaho would call me and first time Nancy Pelosi says, I'm not putting the Senate bill to a vote. Well, I'd file suit for him. I mean, they have the best standing, but here's the deal. Nobody wants to change it. And I was listening to Obama's book, you know, his memoir, and he talks about the filibuster and how bad it was and blah, blah, blah. Well, he never gets to why he didn't do anything about it. I mean, again, the filibuster is what kept his nominee from being appointed to the Supreme Court. He easily could have filed a lawsuit and said, you can't do that. You can't create a rule that makes it me. If I choose this guy, 51 people agree with me, that's the guy or gal. So I don't know. I'll just keep saying it, and maybe somebody will finally say, yeah, you know, this is something that's worth doing. You know, all you constitutionalists out there, this is, as I said last time, this is the one thing where you can point at the document and say, you can't do that. And the document itself, and you're actually backed up by Supreme Court opinions and district court opinions that say the same thing. And everybody will tell you, no, they can make their own rules. Well, yeah, they can, and the courts will stay out unless and until this happens, when you change the voting power of representatives. When you dilute it, it's illegal, and that's exactly what the filibuster is doing. So if you do anything, write your congressman and say, get rid of it. The Democrats aren't going to be in charge forever. I mean, if the filibuster wouldn't have existed when Trump was in charge, he would have got a lot more done than he did. And getting things done, right or wrong, is what they need to do. Because if you don't like what they do, then you know what you did, and you can unelect them. But as it stands, they don't vote on anything. You don't know how they're going to vote. They'll stand up and tell you how they're going to vote and how horrible whatever it is that you don't like or they do like is. But then they don't vote, so you don't really know. So that's why you need to get rid of it. I know it's, I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again next week. So we have a little bit before the break, so I'm going to go back to one of my short topics here. And this is another one that's a little off topic, and I don't hope my wife's not listening because she doesn't like it when I tell people this. But if somebody asked me if there was a book that had the biggest impact on my thinking, I would say it would be a book called The Obesity Code by Jason, I think, Young. And it is, I've got to tell you, I've struggled with weight my whole life. When I got to law school, I was 6'1", 265 pounds, and not built like a linebacker. Right now, I hover around 185 pounds. And after 46 years of trying just about everything, some of it would work, and then it would quit working, even though nothing had changed. Well, the book explains why that is. It's a book that gives you some common sense proposition thing about things that we all have misconceptions on, like the idea that if you don't eat, you get low blood sugar and you get crabby. Well, yeah, certain people with certain medical conditions, that's true. This hangry idea. No, he just says you're hungry and you don't like it. So it's crabby because being hungry is not pleasant, because if it was pleasant, we'd all be extinct. It's not a good thing to like. My theory is this. I mean, what would you rather run into in the woods, a grizzly bear that's full or a grizzly bear that's hungry? I mean, it seems that if you're a carnivore and you're hungry, the natural response is aggression to try to kill something and eat it. But anyway, it is an amazing book. It will, after 45 years, it's the magic bullet, and it will change how you think about eating and how you think about food. It will dispel a ton of myths, and I'm not going to tell you how it ends, because or what his conclusion is and what his recommendation is, because you won't buy it. You have to be led backwards into it. Listen to all the science and the logic. I mean, he starts off with a logical proposition, and then he gives you the science behind the way that it is what it is. And so if you want to lose weight and you're having trouble, well, this is the book. And I'll leave it at that. It's just easy, it's cheap, and if even half of the people that read the book bought into the conclusion or the recommendation, well, Weight Watchers and all of these people would really be in a lot of trouble. I think we're close enough to the break that we can head to a break, and we'll come back and maybe talk about healthcare, insurance, and other fun stuff.
Release 2019 Merlot as January's Wine of the Month. In other exciting news, backed by popular demand, we'll also be releasing the new rendition of our Huckleberry Blush. Come kick back with a loved one, a handmade pizza, and a bottle of your favorite wine in the friendly confines of our tasting room located at 301 Cedar in downtown Sandpoint. Our Facebook page and website are updated with all upcoming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday musicians. Here's to a happy and healthy new year from all of us at the Pondere Winery.
Now is a great time to plan for the yard and garden projects you want to tackle this spring, and the co-op can help. We have received our garden seeds from Renee's Seeds and from Cornucopia, both hybrid and heirloom seeds for vegetables, melons, tomatoes, peppers, herbs, and flowers. Patty has stocked our shelves with seed starting stations, potting and seed starter soils, mini greenhouses, and heating mats. Over in the hand tool aisle, you'll find everything from garden hand tools to rakes, shovels, spades, pitchforks, loppers, and pruners. If your tools need a little attention, we have files for sharpening, wood replacement handles, lubricants, and oils. We also have a wide variety of gloves and seasonal outerwear, as well as rubber boots for the whole family. Now is a great time to make sure your spring project list gets off to a great start. At the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
The Northwest is full of hard workers, early risers, innovators, and extra milers. You don't back down when hardships come your way. You open your doors and get to work. That's why P1FCU Member Business Services is here to support you. We're proud to be your credit union. You keep life moving and communities united. Stronger together, we are P1FCU, a Pacific Northwest original since 1938.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
See our schedule, check our helpful links, or stream us anywhere, all at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Welcome back to Common Law. I am your host, Art, and you can email me at commonlaw7b@gmail.com if you have any particular subject or topic you would like me to discuss on the show. This next topic I was going to stay away from, but I'm not. It's going to be about the Capitol, and it has to be discussed, and not so much about the conduct, but the reasoning behind it. I mean, the conduct was abhorrent, but the reason that they did it is even worse. Not because they supported Trump, and I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about what side of the political spectrum they're on. I'm just talking about what they believed on faith. So if I look at it this way, if you put the shoe on the other foot, if in fact it was clear that Trump did win, if it was like if he was in Biden's position and this Congress was controlled by the Democrats, and if they just ignored that and installed Biden with absolutely no proof of voter fraud, well, eventually, that kind of conduct is going to be met by this kind of conduct. I mean, that's totally illegal. There's just no basis for any of it. And if they would have done it, then that's the kind of thing that eventually, if your own government's going to ignore its own rules, well, eventually that is what's going to happen. But that's not what happened. In the face of completely unprovable allegations of mass voter fraud that even Trump's consigliere Bill Barr said could never be proved and he didn't have any evidence of, the rioters chose to ignore the facts and believe what they want and take action on it. They took it on faith that they were being told the truth about the election being rigged. The only thing you take on faith is the existence of whatever higher power you believe in or that there is not a higher power. Everything else, prove it. And if you can't prove it, then you lose. And if you simply align yourself on one issue or another based on what you hear from someone else and do not require them to back it up, well, then you have become a tool, which is what these guys were and what I believe quite a few of them recognized after the inauguration. If you believe somebody named Q, who you don't know, don't even know who he is, and no idea what he's about and what he's telling you, I mean, that's absurd. You don't know who that guy even is. I've often thought that it's, or not guy, it might be a gal. Who knows what it is? It could be Antifa riling all of you up. So what happens is what happened. You go up there and a bunch of you get felonies. Who knows? But anybody who's anonymous is nobody you believe. When that anonymous book came out with Trump, I was with him. I'm like, if you're not going to put your name on it, then shut up. I mean, you don't believe people who can't prove it to you. I'm not asking you to change your political beliefs. I'm asking you to slow down and make them prove it. I mean, if in fact that massive of a voter fraud occurred, how are you going to not know about it? Nobody's going to be able to sweep that under the rug. And as I said last time, if they can, well, they should be in power. So, because that's, I just don't know how you could do it. I mean, you have to have such extreme control. And they had control of Bill Barr and QAnon's theory about this child sex ring. You don't think Ken Starr could figure that one out? He loves the Democrats. He would certainly give them the benefit of the doubt. Never. If there was any way any of that could ever been proved, it'd have been done. So just don't buy it. Prove it or don't buy it. And that's all I'll say about that. And the other thing that bothers me lately is, along the same lines, is people defending these corporate tax breaks for Trump. And I hear various arguments. First one is, well, they can pay their employees more now because they have more money. Wrong. They can't. They can only pay their employees what the labor market demands. If they pay them more because they have more money without regard to what the going rate is, they will be thrown out and sued for breaching their fiduciary duty. Well, wait a minute. They gave us a $500 bonus. Yeah, they flashed something shiny in front of you so you wouldn't really sit and go, wait a minute, didn't they just make about $1 billion and now they give me $500? That's awesome. Instead of they just made $1 billion and didn't give me anything. So yeah, they can't do that. All right, well, maybe they can lower prices. Again, they can't lower prices because they have more money. They can only lower prices if they think they're going to make more money by doing so. They can't do it to do you a favor. Even if they wanted to, they can't do it. Again, they get sued for breach of fiduciary duty and throw it out on their ear. So if you have those in your head, get them out. So what's that leave us? Well, it leaves us with, it allows corporations to expand and employ more. Friends, that's called trickle-down economics. And there isn't an economist who's considered to be rational on the planet who thinks that that works, who thinks that the benefits to overall economic growth outweigh the benefits to these companies getting these huge tax breaks. It's just nonsense. So, really, what was it about? Well, it was what Trump said in that meeting after the law was passed with all his rich donors. I just made you all a lot richer. Bloomberg, all this money he wasted on this campaign, he didn't even spend probably half of what he saved with that tax cut. So those are not the reason to give the tax cut. You know, and then they all fall back on, well, look at the economy. Look what he did for the economy with those tax cuts. We didn't do anything for the economy. Presidents never do. If you look at the growth rate from when Obama took over up until the pandemic, it was absolutely steady. None of his policies had any impact on any of our economic growth. Economic growth just occurs until something stupid happens, like a pandemic or there's a bubble. So if you don't believe me, look it up. Again, you have all this information at your fingertips, and you're just buying it that some guy on whatever news station or down at the coffee shop said, oh, these tax breaks are going to spur corporate growth. Corporations are not going to expand because they got money. They're going to expand because it will make them more money. If it's not going to make them more money, they're not going to expand. And that's all corporations. So you say, well, maybe there's a smaller corporation that doesn't have a pile of cash that wants to expand, but otherwise wouldn't without these tax breaks. Again, wrong. The tax breaks are a creature of Congress. No rational businessman is going to come up with a 10-year amortization plan to pay off his expansion based on what will hopefully be an 8-year tax cut, maybe only 3-year tax cut, and then they can change it all. That's what I tell people when they're doing estate planning, is you don't really need to worry about taxes unless you got a $10 million estate. Well, you do, because they could easily switch it all back to $600,000. So nobody who has any rational business sense is going to count on a tax cut being in place for very long, because when Congress changes, that can change. So tax cuts for the corporation are hugely fiscally irresponsible. There's no reason to do them other than to line the pockets of those corporations and their shareholders. And it just doesn't get to you. And I, for the life of me, cannot figure out why anybody who's not rich and owns some of these companies would support such a thing. It just makes zero sense. And if it's definitely not fiscally responsible, especially when you're currently involved in wars and all kinds of nonsense, and then you're spending the same amount of money and you are taxing less. That creates a deficit. That's just math. Now, does taxing more mean more big government? No. How about taxing more, less big government, and less deficit? There's an idea. I know you could say big government means that you're taxing me. Well, you're going to get taxed. All this stuff costs money. So it's going to happen. But saying we should tax corporations more doesn't mean that we take that money and start throwing it at people so they don't have to work. They're two different issues. They are always put together, and they're not together. So anyway, that's my spiel on that. That's another short topic. Let's see what else we got here. One little argument on the Second Amendment I wanted to dispel that I hear a lot for why, you know, gun control is okay, and why I hear it that only if the militia, the well-organized militia, you know, they're the only ones who should have weapons, because that's the way it reads. And it's a low-hanging fruit. I mean, if you read the thing, that's what it sounds like. If we've got a well-regulated militia and they have arms. Well, the militia is now the National Guard. Back in the day, it was a requirement. Every able-bodied man in any town, county, whatever, had to be ready to take up arms and fight if need be. Well, that was a very poorly organized system for obvious reasons, so then that's what the National Guard is. So then they say, oh, the National Guard's the only people who can hold guns. Well, here's the problem with that argument is if you read the Second Amendment to be a grant of a right to people, certain people, to possess firearms, well, that's not what the Bill of Rights is. The Bill of Rights is not a grant of rights to the people. The people had these rights. The Bill of Rights is a restriction on the government's ability to restrict these already inalienable rights. And so, some of the founding fathers were actually quite against the Bill of Rights for that very reason. It's like, well, it kind of implies that they didn't have the right and we're giving it to them. But, you know, in the absence of an explicit don't do this and don't do that, you know, everybody wanted that, and I can understand that. But no, I don't know why the Second Amendment's rewarded the way it is, but it's not a grant of power for anybody to bear arms. You already had that right. It's just a restriction on the government's ability to infringe on that right. So anyway, that's a little, I don't know why I thought about that. Just occurred to me because I'd heard the argument all the time and I didn't really know how to formulate why it didn't make sense, because if textually it did, but then you just look at the, you know, case law, and then you look at the comments to the Constitution. There's actually, you know, they actually wrote down what they were thinking when they wrote these things. It's a pretty good place to look at and figure out what they were thinking. The other issue is this, similar to my talk about masks last time, that somehow you have a constitutional right to go into a private business without a mask on. Well, you don't. And here's the next subject, is when they shut Trump and whoever off of Twitter and whatever, they kicked him off of whatever platform, and he and his brilliant lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, are up there talking about the First Amendment being in danger. Folks, anything a private company does doesn't violate your constitutional rights, period. You can't have a violation of your constitutional rights without an action by a governmental agency. So, no, Twitter didn't violate anybody's constitutional right to free speech. You don't have the right to use Twitter to exercise your free speech rights. You have the right to use Twitter if you pay them and they let you. Just like you have the right to go to Walmart if you put on a mask and they let you in. You don't have a right to be there. So, and I try to bring this up and emphasize it because you're all getting wound up about it. And it's just wrong. You don't have any right to be in any private business. Granted, there are exceptions. You know, you can't discriminate on certain classifications. But beyond that, it's you don't have state action. You don't have any constitutional violations. So get over it. Sorry, but this drive, I get tired of hearing it. I mean, it's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Don't talk to me about the Constitution when you're talking about Twitter. I mean, it's just not relevant. So the last point before we go to break is then you got the argument, well, Twitter and Facebook have too much power and they, you know, they could see that Trump got elected or unelected or whatever you want to say. Well, in response to that, I just refer you on the internet to Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission, or I can't remember what. You type in Citizen United, you'll get it. And that pretty much says if you got a big pile of money, you can do whatever you want to get whatever candidate elected you want. And that whole case was about the Koch brothers and the Republicans. And so I'm just, again, tired of violation of the goose gander rule. It's got to stop. I mean, you can't complain about Twitter when you didn't complain about the Kochs. The Supreme Court said they're big, they're powerful, they can use their money how they want. And with that, we'll go to a break now, and we'll be back with some more common law, the last little segment, after this.
Hello, this is Nevin Neal, pastor of Bonners Ferry Baptist Church. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we have a verse of Scripture that gives us some understanding as to how we receive the Bible and what its purpose is. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There's a fourfold purpose explained here for the Bible. Number one, doctrine. This tells us what is true. Number two, reproof. This tells us where we're wrong. Number three, for correction. This tells us how to get right what is wrong. And number four, instruction in righteousness tells us how to continue doing that which is right. If you are concerned about the truth today, you want to know the truth, and you want righteousness, may I encourage you, find a good old King James Bible, pick it up, and read it with an open heart and mind. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us at 267-3746 or find us at bfbaptist.com.
Now is the time to gear up and get those spring projects together. Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonners Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you. Spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel or desktop, or beams up to 44 feet long. Just about anything you can dream up, the guys at TNT can help design. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all of your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive prices, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out their website, tntbeams.com.
Hi, this is Brett Taylor with Taylor & Sons Chevrolet, serving the greater Sandpoint area. I wanted to take the time to identify some of the practices that make Taylor & Sons unique when considering our business for your automotive sales or repair needs. Taylor & Sons is constantly fine-tuning our operation to provide expediency and professional service in both our sales and repair facility. These conveniences are evidenced by tools such as accurate online listings of in-stock vehicles, remote appraisal of potential trade-ins, and defined processes to limit the time you must spend in the dealership. Our service department is stacked with some of the best local talent in automotive repair and management, and all of the work is performed in the cleanest modern repair facility available in the area. Finally, in the latter part of 2020, Taylor & Sons has introduced our Taylor & Sons Powertrain Advantage. Every new Chevrolet and late model pre-owned vehicle now comes with the security of a 10-year or 150,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Exclusions apply, but talk with any of our sales staff for all the details. For guest-focused service, a world-class facility, and value for your money, it's Taylor & Sons Chevrolet.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
For dinners, where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to Common Law. This is our last segment. I'm Arch, your host. Please email me something to talk about next month at commonlaw7b@gmail.com. And Incidentally, I guess after my last show, somebody wanted to chat with me about, I think, the mask topic. And if you want to meet with me, email me. We can set up an appointment. We'll have a cup of coffee and talk about it. I mean, my whole point is to get people to talk without yelling at each other and thinking that they're part of a conspiracy because they think somebody should have health care. I mean, it's people don't even know what they agree on anymore because they don't talk to each other. But anyway, speaking of healthcare, I don't remember what show it was where I explained the economics of insurance and how that's why auto insurance is reasonable, because the good drivers have to have it and they all have it, and the bad drivers have it, and insurance companies make good money on the good drivers and that covers the bad drivers. Same idea for healthcare, that you got everybody insured, the healthy people don't cause claims and the unhealthy people do. But you've got all that money from the healthy people, so you can cover these pre-existing conditions. And the reason that Obamacare made our premiums go up is because he didn't put any teeth in the mandate. So I'm listening to his book, like I said. He understands all this. I was listening to the chapter on the ACA, and he says just what I said, which is this is how it works. And I got to the end of the chapter. I'm like, well, I guess I still get to ask him the question when we meet, which is, why did you completely sink your own plan when you didn't give him the mandate? I mean, the only thing he said about it is people didn't like it. It's like, well, okay, they don't like it, but if you don't do it, you're dooming your plan to failure. So he, you know, didn't do it. So anyway, I talked about healthcare, but I think now, rather than just tell you what's wrong with it, what would I do? You know, and again, I'm not talking about whether or not everybody has some human basic right to have healthcare. That's not what I'm talking about. I think probably they do, but that's not the reason that I would vote for it. Primarily, it'd be because it's economically makes a heck of a lot more sense. I mean, we're paying for this stuff anyway, folks. We have, I'd say, I don't know, but probably one of the best, if not the best, healthcare system in the world. But it is so much more expensive than anything else that the added expense is not commensurate to how much better it is. So something is wrong. I mean, and I'm pretty sure that the fact that, well, there's a whole lot of uninsured people that are passing on bankruptcies has something to do with it. So anyway, let's just go with health care. You can make everybody have it. Supreme Court's already said that, so let's just say it. So how do you do it right? Here's how I would do it. No mandate. We're not going to fine you for not having health care. What does that even accomplish? Are you going to give money to the feds? Well, that's not helping the insurance companies. They're the ones that are covering the pre-existing conditions, and then the feds are getting the money. Maybe they weren't getting the money. I don't know. But either way, it's not enough money. I don't know what it was, but it was nowhere near the cost of a basic catastrophic policy. So you don't have a mandate. What you do is you say, when you submit your taxes, just like with your car, you know, you're going to submit proof of insurance and you're going to put the United States as an additional insured so they get notice if it gets canceled or whatever. And when that happens, they're going to buy you a policy. They're going to buy you a catastrophic policy, $10,000 deductible. I mean, if you want to get hardcore, you say no other, you're not paying for anything. You want to pay for your own doctor visits, do it yourself. I think that's personally a bad idea for any insurance company. I mean, if people, it's no fun to go to the doctor. And when you get to pay $300 to have a blood draw and have them tell you that it's all fine, that's not high on your list. But if it's free and you can get people at least once a year to do a blood draw, I mean, it would do miracles for people and their health. But anyway, let's just go with the simple catastrophic policy, $10,000 deductible. That way, when you have your heart attack and you go into Bonner General and you leave them with a $300,000 bill, the most they're going to be stuck hanging on to is $10,000, not $300,000 that the county's going to end up paying them or whoever, or that they pass on to other patients or whatever. So then you buy them all these policies, and so you have an idea, a pretty good idea, how many of them you're going to buy. So you then take each state and you put out to bid to the private insurance companies the whole state. Say, how much, you know, what's your deal if you can pick up all of these people who we are buying insurance for? And that way you don't have the feds buying and you don't have the feds providing insurance. You just say, you know, this is the policy that we're looking for. What can you do? You know, and the insurance companies right off the bat would say, oh yeah, we'll do the 10,000, but yeah, we'll throw in an office visit or whatever, you know, they'll compete for the contract. And once they get that contract, well, they have guaranteed money from the feds. And once they have guaranteed money from the feds, that will free them up to, one, be able to afford to cover people with pre-existing conditions, two, to be able to provide much better policies for a lot less money to everybody else because they've got a guaranteed pile of cash. The mandate didn't do that. The mandate, I mean, it would have worked if you would have said, yeah, it's going to cost you $30,000 if you don't have insurance. Well, yeah, everybody would have bought it. That would have worked. But if you do it this way, then you're guaranteeing the insurance company basically a pretty fixed sum of money every year. And so they can plan and they can, you know, do their deal. And when you can plan and you don't, and you have less uncertainty, that means that things get cheaper. And that is what, that's how I would do it. And if you don't want to do it, fine. But if you're going to do it, this is, I think, the best way to do it. You know, I've called Mr. Biden about it. He's not gotten back to me. I don't know why. I even told President Trump, and he didn't listen either. And I'm like, you've been saying you want to propose something. This would be way better than Obamacare because it would work. Everybody's premiums would go down. But he would be about as likely to put that forward as, I don't know. Anyway, that's my deal on healthcare. And just one last thing on healthcare. Since I got a little time, about 3 minutes, I'd like you to think about competition in private insurance. I'm all about the free market economy. Competition builds the best widget. You know, in economics, that's what we talk about, the product is the widget. It does, no question. But what's the widget in insurance? It's a pile of money. And what happens when something outside the norm happens, like a hurricane or a massive Mississippi flood? Do people not get paid their insurance? Nope, they always get paid, even if the insurance company can't afford to do it. Why? Because the feds bail them out. And then they pay the feds back with interest every time because they're killing it on these insurance deals. They're making a ton of money. So what it comes down to is something to think about is, well, who really is the insurer then? Well, it's really the federal government. And so that's fine. You know, there's the idea of a middleman. Middlemen add value to products. Companies don't use middlemen if they don't have to, because if they can get it direct to the customer, they don't get all the markups and they can sell more stuff. But middlemen add value to the product. Well, what's the product? Pile of money. What value does a private insurance company, how do you improve a pile of money and make it better? With their policies? No. So anyway, I think I already told you this once, but I don't mind saying it again. I'm not saying we should have a single payer system and the government should run it all. I just think you really ought to consider what value these people add, these being between us and the feds. They are, in essence, a artificial market that doesn't really even need to exist. And it's costing all of us a lot of money. So that is not saying big government. That is saying, think about, you don't like government, I get it. Don't like it, it's fine, but there's some things that it makes sense for them to do. We all agree on that. I mean, the military, there's all kinds of things that we think they should do. So anyway, I don't know what else to talk about today. I think I did pretty good in light of all the things I wanted to say today, in light of recent events. But again, I just wish somebody would ask me a question. I mean, the whole point in my show was initially to, you know, provide a little guidance to people out there who didn't necessarily want to call a lawyer and have them say, I don't do free consultations on that kind of thing, which they generally don't. You know, if you want to get a free consultation, then you better have a big personal injury case. And in Idaho, those don't really exist. So anyway, I don't know. I wrap it up. I think we will wrap it up. Thank you for listening. Again, commonlaw7b@gmail.com. Give me something to talk about. And if you want to talk to me and have coffee, let me know. You all have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
97.1 K246EU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint.